This morning, as we thought on, as Uncle Dave brought us that message or that thought in 1 Corinthians 15, he didn't read, but one of the verses that was in that grouping said that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Well, we do have hope in Christ, and we're thankful for that, but there's many who do not have hope in Christ. And there's many miserable people out there. And sometimes even as believers, we can become miserable. We don't have reason to, but we do become miserable. We get caught up in things that perhaps we have no business being caught up in, but things that bring us down. Sometimes there's health issues that come into our lives that also have an effect of bringing us in sort of like a miserable state. But it's good to get back to the Word of God, and it's always good, and it brings joy to each of our hearts as we consider and think about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who we're going to think about tonight, and His name. So if you'd like to turn with me to Psalms chapter 8, a well-known psalm, and yet we could maybe get some good thoughts out of it tonight as we consider our Lord. Psalms chapter 8, verse 1, we'll read the whole psalm, only 9 verses. It says this, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens, and out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength, because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and all the beasts of the fields, the fowl of the air and the fish of the seas, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. 9 short verses, and yet many good things in them. The psalm begins and ends with the same words, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The sad part about this is that Jehovah's name, the Lord Jesus Christ's name, is not yet acknowledged in all our earth. We're quite familiar, and the news is often filled with the people of the religion of the Muslims. And Allah is the one who's on the throne of their heart in this world. And there's thousands and thousands of Muslims, thousands of Buddhists who bow down to the graven image of Buddha, Hindu people, people who worship at the feet of idols. And then there's atheists, people who don't even believe there's a God. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. No, it's not acknowledged. His name isn't acknowledged by all in the earth at this point. Someday that will change. But to those of us who have come to know him, come to realize the Lord Jesus and his love and greatness to us, his name is above all other names. Is his saving and sovereign name of the Old Testament Jehovah and the New Testament Jesus. What a name. And if we have miserable times and are feeling miserable, let's just think a little bit about the name of the Lord Jesus, and it should bring joy and happiness to our hearts and give us a renewed desire to live for him and to have a joyous spirit about us and endure the different things that come into our lives, which sometimes beset us. Gabriel, you remember, told Mary that, Mary, we want you to call his name Jesus, because he was going to be Savior. He was going to save his people from their sins. And in John chapter 1, as we thought about recently, it says that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." The Lord Jesus' name. Isaiah prophesied in the Old Testament of the coming Savior. He said that his name was going to be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So we consider his name Wonderful. It may refer to, and probably does, his person and work. But we'd have to agree that he's full of wonder. And each of us who know him as a personal Savior have experienced and recognized different things that he's done and helped us in our lives, and we can only exclaim that he is wonderful. And, of course, his greatest work, and that he gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary. Truly, he is wonderful. And one of the greatest wonders is a song we often sing. We sing, "Why should he love me so?" And that is a wonder. But he said his name would be Counselor. This word of God in which we bring and read, and I trust we're reading it, is a word that's full of counsel. And it's said that he reveres, or I forget the exact way, but his word above all his name even. His word is I don't even know the words to say it, but it's, to him, it's something that is really great. It's his word, and it's full of counsel, and we have it before us as young people, as older people, and many times we need counsel. What should I do in this case or that case? God's word gives us counsel, sometimes there's areas in our lives that are areas of, well, it just doesn't say you can't do this or can't do that, but through the whole scripture, as we read it and as we ask the Lord to give us guidance, I believe he will. And so, therefore, he's Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's a Wonderful God. He's a Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Supreme All-Knowing God. You know, he understands us and our needs. Sometimes our beef is that, nobody understands me. Well, God understands us, and he knows the difficulties we go through. He knows what we're experiencing, and he's there to help us in all these things. He's the Mighty God. He knows us. And he's the Everlasting Father. You know, he's the source of eternity. And his desire is that all might have eternal life as well. And he'd like to give eternal life to all who believe on him. And we know that to be true in the scripture and different verses that we often like to quote, that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he's the Everlasting Father, the source of eternity. And he's the Prince of Peace. This world cries out for somebody that would bring peace. We'd like to have peace in this world. Well, there's no real peace coming until the Lord comes back and brings peace to this troubled world. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, many attributes and wonderful things that it means, and as we say it and as we rehearse it in our mind, these thoughts can bring us peace and take those miserablenesses away from us, if that's a good way to put it. He goes on to say, "Who has set thy glory above the heavens." God's glory is far above even the heavens. The planets, all the stars, the limitless universe that mankind is learning a little bit more about every day, or at least more and more they're learning about every day, but they're learning more of it. And I just heard something briefly, but they're saying they found the planet now that might sustain life. Well, I don't know about that, but the point is that they're finding more and more about what's out there, and it's kind of a limitless universe. But all this thing only gives us a little and partial view of God's glory and His might and His power. The majesty of the Lord is evident in all creation. If a person would just take a moment and look at it and see it. And I would ask myself tonight, and you, I would ask you, how much do we take it in of the glory of God and who He is and the wonder of it all? Verse 2 says, out of the mouths of babes and of sucklings hast thou ordained strength, because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Our God Almighty, He works in many different ways. Man says to conquer an enemy, you need a big army, an air force, a navy, strategy, and all the rest of it. But, you know what? When God brought Pharaoh to his knees, he didn't use an army, he didn't use another nation or any super leader. He used a babe that was hid by his parents in the bulrushes, and we all know about that story. And he was found by Pharaoh's daughter, who, in even disobedience to her father's wishes, raised the little boy, who she called Moses. And when the time came, that little babe, but now God's man, brought Egypt and its armies even to its knees and to the dust. So God doesn't need man's ingenuity, his might, his knowledge, to still the enemy. I think this psalm, well, I've read that this psalm may have been written by David in his thinkings and that about his encounter with Goliath. And I don't think there's probably any more Bible story that we as young people and older alike kind of like to look at, is that story of David and Goliath, when just the strapling of a boy against this great big giant came out. And God, well, was able to use a small thing to bring a giant to this end. To David, Goliath wasn't so big. That wasn't what bothered him. Nothing bothered him, actually. It was just easier for him to hit, maybe, or something, because of his size. I don't know. But David surely wasn't worried about that. And God used even David to bring down one of his enemies against the children of Israel. So he doesn't need man's ability particularly. He uses us, but he can use the smallest things and the weakest things to perform his bidding. And he can even use me, and he can use you. And that's a great thing to know as we consider the Lord Jesus in all His greatness. And when I consider the heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon, and the stars which Thou hast ordained, there's probably no greater proof other than man himself, who is so wonderfully and fearfully made. There's probably no greater proof of God's greatness and man's insignificance than the heavens above. Astronomers, this is just information that I got, but astronomers, because of the vastness of the universe, they measure distances in light years, and that's not something new to us. But, and just a little review on light years. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. That's moving right along. In a year, there's 31.5 million seconds, approximately. So that in 1 year, light travels 6 trillion miles. Now that's hard to take for me to take in, even. But some stars are billions of light years even from Earth. And so it's just something that really is amazing. And this is all in God's universe and in His heavens. And I hope that from time to time, as we even gaze into the heavens, and, you know, especially at night when it's clear and you can see all the stars, and it was like that the other night at home. And it was really great to see God's heavens and all that stuff, all those things that He created and made. And it certainly turns our thoughts away from anything else but to recognize and appreciate God's glory. The moon and the stars are but the work of His fingers, it says. As we think of the numberless stars, and they're all known by name, and the vast distances in the universe, and knowing that by the word of His power He holds all these things together, it really boggles our minds as we consider the distances and all these things. And frankly, as human beings, we can't take it in. We can't comprehend it. God's finger play, you might say. The stars and the moon, the sun, those things that He created. And as I think of these things, my mind would often turn to, if not always, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And in the first verse in Isaiah, where it says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" It was God's finger play to put the stars in place, but to redeem mankind from sin and rebellion, it was the arm of the Lord that was revealed. The redemption of you and I, the bringing back to God, was such a great work that it would take the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to leave the ivory palaces, and we like to sing that song too, out of the ivory palaces into this world of woe, only His great eternal love made my Savior go, or something to that effect. And He came to this sin-cursed earth. Ephesians says, "And who, being in the form of God, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." The arm of God revealed for you and for me. Thank the Lord for that. Verse 4 says, "What is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that Thou visitest him?" When I consider, what is man? What is man? But it's wonderful to know that God is more interested in people than He is even in His planets. He's more interested in our souls than in all the stars that He created. And He's in just plain interested in us and all our difficulties and problems and ups and downs than He is in His entire universe. We have a wonderful God, and His name is Jesus. And because of this, He came to visit us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. "For Thou hast made Him," mankind, "a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned Him with glory and with honor." Verse 5. We could remember in Genesis, the creation of man. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." You know, man was made in the likeness of God. He wasn't made equal with God, just a little lower than the angels. And this is God's estimate of us as human beings, as His creation, just a little lower than the angels. Not as the evolutionists would say and estimate that man is just a mere animal and evolved from basically nothing. That's what they say, but God said he created man in his own image, but just a little lower than the angels. But you know, someday even that will change. For we as redeemed ones will be heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And John says, the apostle, in chapter 3 and verse 2, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is God's plan for his people, that one day we'll be in his presence and we'll be like him, for we're going to see him. Corinthians talks about our eyes. Our eyes haven't seen or our ears heard. All the things that God has prepared for them that love him. I know we can't take it in, just what's all in front of us, but we can be encouraged and blessed by remembering and thinking and realizing that one day we're going to be like him, for those who know him, for we shall see him as he is. And thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Today, God has given man a lot of ability. We can tame animals. Talks about man having dominion over animals, all these things. Man has learned how to work with the atoms in such a way that they can make a bomb that can obliterate cities and all these things. It's all knowledge that man has gained. And he can understand the mysteries of like DNA and all those things. How you can, I don't even understand it myself, but I just know that they do those things, and he's given man that kind of wisdom to have that. And so don't want to make any mistake. God is not, man is not just an animal, but he's God's special creation. And while because of sin, this dominion that God said that man would have is not fully realized, someday when Christ, the Son of God, returns to earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the dominion that the first Adam forfeited in that he sinned will be restored by the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 9, which is the conclusion of the psalm, starts out, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. This psalm begins and ends, as we said, with this same thought, the excellency of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say, well, what does the name of the Lord Jesus Christ mean to me, and what does it mean to you? When you hear that name, what do you think about, and what does it mean to you? Many times we hear it in a way that is dishonoring to him, but as we think of it and as we talk about it and share his name and all his glory with each other, it brings thoughts of, at least should bring thoughts of praise. And we were thinking about that a little this morning. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Should bring thoughts of thanksgiving, thoughts of hope, for one day we're going to be in his presence, and thoughts of love, just appreciation for all that God has done for us, and for his name, which brings us peace and gladness and joy. So those are my thoughts tonight on this psalm and our meditations. And it's still early. I don't know but what we can sing a hymn that we like, or at least I like, as we close. Sing number 61 in your hymnal. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Trust he's sweet to you tonight. and that you know him as your Savior.